Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
We're going to talk to Dwayne Woodruff, a.k.a. Judge Dwayne Woodruff, a.k.a. Woody. He used to put the wood on running backs coming out the backfield when he was a cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day. We're going to talk to Dwayne Woodruff about the Pittsburgh Steelers season opening up very shortly. And we got the number one Steeler fan in the world in the house tonight, Debbie Coleman.
Ah, Bill, I thought you were talking about me. What's going on, man?
I couldn't be talking about you because you changed from week to week.
Someone else is more of a Steeler fan than I am.
Listen, this is the number one Steeler fan in all the land, Debbie Coleman, in the house tonight. And what I'm hoping is she don't go off on one of them runs. Because when I talk to her on occasion, I have to straighten her out because she starts going off the road. And as evidenced by tonight, I said to her, I said, Debbie, Dwayne Woods is going to be on the show tonight, so wear your Steeler gear. Okay. And she put on a Ben Roethlisberger shirt. That ain't no Steeler gear, man.
You know.
No. A Steeler
gear. Can I say something?
No, and I'll let you know when you can say something. A Franco Harris shirt, an L.C. Greenwood shirt, a Lambert. But Ben, a man that went to two Super Bowls and didn't do nothing to win either one of them.
Now, see, you keep saying that, but.
Well, let me say this.
As I mentioned before, you know, two-time Super Bowl winner, and he was very instrumental in that first Super Bowl win. A lot of people don't realize it. Without Ben Roethlisberger, we don't get to number five.
Let me get back on track. Bill Neal coming to you from Soul Take Champions Live with my partner, Kevin Cameron, the orchestrator of this whole deal, coming to you from the north side of Pittsburgh, PA. Kiki handling the details, and we're going to talk about a number of things in sports. Most importantly, Pittsburgh Steelers and Penn State game coming up, college football kicking off, high school football kicking off. Aliquippa paid off some officials and got another win. So we'll talk about.
Say whatever you want to say.
You know what? I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. That's just not a good thing to say. So I take that back. However, Aliquippa gets their wins.
We're always fighting against the officials.
However, Aliquippa gets their wins. They got another one the same way last night. They beat a powerhouse team 48-0.
What?
Wouldn't you like to play powerhouse teams like that every week?
Oh, wow.
Man, listen. Out of D.C.
So
they didn't know what was going on. I forget the name.
You would forget the name.
It's easy to forget.
I forget the name. All I know is Mike Warfield, congratulations. You got his first win.
Okay. Judge Dwayne Woodruff is with us, and, of course, he spent 12 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, if memory serves me right. Before the knee gave way. And we are with Debbie Coleman by way of Penn Hills, an outstanding, dedicated Steeler fan. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, Kevin's got to tell you how and where to find us so you know what to do ongoingly.
How to find us? They found us already, Bill. I mean, they're listening. We're here every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m., and we appreciate everyone that listens. And for you, that you the audience, I should just say, if you could please pass the word, because Bill, a lot of people still do not know about us. Okay, so we need to get that word out.
We are the new kids in town.
So we're also on Twitter as well as Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports.
Thank you, sir. Now look, before we start talking Steelers stuff, you know they got a game tomorrow night. So Thursday night. And so this show will drop in the hands of our devoted listeners on Wednesday. But before we get to the Steelers, before we get to Penn State, before we get to the Pirates and can they rally before we get to all that,
come on.
There's a matter of importance that we have to put on the table. This is high level stuff. You know, I'm just saying, let the woman wear the cat suit. You know what I'm saying?
You just couldn't wait to get
well,
there,
I'm just
right?
saying. There's
that
a matter
farther down.
Yeah, it was number four on the list.
Yeah.
Number one.
This is a matter of importance. Serena, put on your cat suit. Wear it the way you want to wear it. If that's what, if that's how you get to marry a billionaire girl, you put your cat suit on and get out on that court. Don't let them folks tell you how to wear it.
Well, the wedding is over, man. They're married.
And they've already told her that she can't wear it.
Baby is born. The money's locked in.
Look, she got enough money of her own.
She can have her own.
Yes,
so she wearing that cat suit because she plays well in it, and she feels good in it, and she should be. And she looks good in it. She should be able to wear it.
And as
we all know, that wasn't the first time a suit like that's been worn. You look at all the majors that they have. Wimbledon is right up there at the top, if not the top. And about 10, 15 years ago, a lady wore a cat suit. It was white, and she was white, and she wore it, and I ain't hear nothing about it.
Well, of course, you're not going to hear anything about that, but when it comes to Serena, it's just like, Serena looks too good, and there's a lot of jealousy out there. Mm-hmm. And not only does she look good, but look at the way she plays. The greatest of all time, what do they call it, a GOAT? Before you get started again, can I give you something else of high importance? I'm trying to take over the show and make it the Coleman and Cameron show. Can I talk?
CNC. CNC, that sounds good.
Right.
That has a real nice ring. It has a real nice ring.
Cut somebody's mic off. Here's what you need to know. Debbie Coleman and I started first grade together. That's how long.
Second grade.
That's how long we've known each other. All of our lives. And you would come on my show and stab me in the back.
Absolutely.
Well, go ahead on. Go ahead. Get it out.
She's calling it how it is, Bill. What can I say? But, I have to comment on Serena as well. Every month, Bill, she's only been back a few months.
Something.
Every month, there's controversy, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the biggest, now, not just the cat suit, the biggest thing is she's being drug tested.
Yeah, drug tested.
Very regularly.
They don't want to give her the ranking that
right.
she deserves. She
right.
has to fight for that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And now it's about what she's wearing. I guess next they'll check her tennis racket to make sure it's the right size and everything. Or maybe she's using the wrong color strings. There'll be something because every month there's controversy that's not justified. Mm-hmm. And with the cat suit, and as you all said, she looks good in it. And from a rating standpoint, I would think that would be encouraged.
Yeah, let's go
to be honest with you.
I'm sure it is. I don't see any reason why it's not. But if you look at Serena is not the typical body build of a tennis player,
right.
What people are accustomed to seeing. She's a very big woman, mm-hmm. okay? But she wears it so well. And if that cat suit
I don't like what you just said, Debbie. She's a very big woman.
She's big, yes. When I say big, I mean...
I wouldn't say big. I would say she's a thick woman that's well-formed.
Voluptuous. She's voluptuous.
All right.
I like that
word.
Voluptuous is a word.
Whatever adjective you want to use.
But
it's not your typical people are used to seeing.
Well,
before Serena
just
came along.
It just depends on when you're looking, I guess. If you're looking in the tennis world, mm-hmm. But you're looking in everyday life, she looks like another lovely lady you would
powerful.
See.
Well, let me clarify
And it should be noted that these issues with Serena have been going on for a long time.
They
Not just, last year, month to month, but, she's been drug tested more than anybody in the past as well. So, it's one of those things. You got someone up there that plays as good as she does, and everybody's trying to knock her off that mountaintop. And she said, I ain't ready to go.
So what I would like to see, and I know the French Open isn't until next year again, 2019. I would like to see all the fans get a picture of Serena in her cat suit. Okay, and when she comes on the court, everybody raises that picture at the same time.
Rally the troops.
And then do it after every set, and then do it after her first win. And I think that'll send a very strong message of support.
Sure, it would. Yeah.
Let's just call it like it is. The thing that she can do and should do to shut up all the mouths is just keep winning. Keep going through the ranks, keep winning, shutting them up as she goes along. We know, she knows that we've all, as a race of people, get tested more than and greater than the masses.
And you're a great player once they start to change the rules and everything. Kind of like one of your great players you played with there, Dwayne. Yeah,
I get on him about that all
the
time.
Yeah, Mel Blunt.
Yeah, change the rules.
Yeah.
I got to play under the new rules.
Exactly. So you have Mel Blunt. You have Tiger Woods. You know, I'm sure there's others that could be named as well. They were just dominant with what they did. They changed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The same, Dwayne, I'm not sure who caused the rule from the head slap in football. Was that Joe Green or was that somebody else?
I think Deacon Jones.
I think Deacon Jones.
With the Cowboys. Changed
that rule.
With the Rams.
You know, but you know, we use that technique a lot, at least our defensive linemen, and yeah, it got changed. Particularly, we start with the Super Bowls. Obviously, Deacon was on some fantastic defenses as well. And you know, football is trying to be more, even back in the day, so to speak, it was always trying to be as safe as it could in that particular time. Right now, football is changing, leaps and bounds in regard to safety, in regard to players, and that head slapping and helmet use is always changing. They're trying to find something to do. Now, I'm not quite sure. I saw a couple hits the other day with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. That it could have easily been penalized because of the use of the helmet.
Yeah, I guess I should ask too because I always like to be respectful. Is it okay to call you Dwayne, Judge Woodruff?
This is your show.
I just want to make sure. I want to be respectful.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, I really respect you. So,
well, that's other places I get called another name, and then when people leave, they call me another name.
Okay.
Well, just to finish up that point, Deacon Jones used to say, I had the pleasure of interviewing him years ago, but he said he used to keep slapping the helmet until somebody said, come in. So he was notorious for that. But look, let us digress and officially welcome to the show after weeks and weeks and months of trying to lock him down. But, of course, he was in a great political race. Judge Dwayne Woodruff joins us. Welcome to the show, Judge.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
Thank you.
Dwayne Woodruff, Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl champion, 12 years in NFL. By way of Louisville, where he was a great player and came into the NFL to put up 12 years of great football with the greatest team that ever played on this planet. And, Judge, I want to talk initially before we get to the present date. You know, of course, I'm always on your neck about what used to be. But let's talk a little bit about that. You're a person that can speak to what it was and what it is. And as a matter of fact, Debbie and I were having a conversation before you got here. I was saying to her that she was saying how she would like to see a more physical team in today's Steelers. And I was saying, well, back in the days when Joe and Ernie Holmes and LC and Dwight were wreaking havoc on people, it was a different kind of game. Physicality was allowed at a different level, because if you go back before them, Dick Butkus and Ray Niskey was ripping people's helmets off,
right,
so it was
right.
Even more physical. So how has the game changed in that regard?
You know, I think it's changed more toward safety and having players have somewhat of a career after football than just, during the football season. You know, as you look at careers now, they're a little longer than they used to be for more players. At the same time, players to play 4 or 5 years, and then they say, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the finances and different things that are there. But in regard to physicality of the game, it's extremely physical right now. One of the things that we know is in regard to brain injuries and different things, there's no need for that. And so this isn't one of those gladiator games, you fight to the death.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have a game that's yes, it has to be physical because of the nature of the game, but also should be as safe as we can make it as well. You know, these are young kids and young men out there, playing a game of football, and at the end of the day, we can't lose sight of the fact that it is a game.
But what about the guys in today's game that say publicly, "Let us play"?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some
like
players
Hans Warren
that are saying, "Let us play. We'll worry about the consequences, take the gloves off." What do you say to those guys? Do they not realize what they're asking for?
Well, you know, you can play pretty physical right now as much as you want. You just don't be hitting someone in the head. But you can play physical as you want, running into people as hard as you want, tackling, hitting as hard as you want. You know, that's not the issue here. The issue is, you know, how are you going to do that in a safe way? If you run in someone, you just knock their head off and you use your shoulder, hey, great play. But if you want to use your helmet as a weapon, that's an issue.
Well, now, so when you played the game, did you realize what the future held? Was your mindset like that? Did you think about the dangers, the repercussions, the possibilities, the concussions, did all that stuff weigh on your mind, or did you just play the game?
We never discussed any of those things. Those things weren't part of our game. Uh-huh. You know, people got hit and got knocked out of the game. Hey, you know, hopefully you make it back next week. But we're going to keep on fighting out here now. You know, but we have a lot more information than we did then. We didn't have the information. We didn't have the studies. You know, we didn't have anything about CTE, none of that stuff. And, you know, we're just out there, you know, playing the game of football. But
okay.
Now it's changed.
And if I can ask another question, because, you know, we're on Twitter, as I indicated before, and just got a question in on Twitter. So I want to make sure I read this correctly, even though the show's taped. I actually have someone that decided to ask the question ahead of time, I guess. So let me see if I could read this. Based on the teams you played on, well, you only played on one team.
No need to go anywhere else.
Yeah, because you weren't like my boy Franco, who broke my heart and went to Seattle for a year. But all right, so based on the team that you played on, did those teams tolerate the attitudes and egos of the teams today? And this person actually put example, Le'Veon Bell not showing up for training camp.
Yeah, well, let me say this. You know, the attitudes and different things that players have now, much different than they were then. I mean, Chuck Newell used to say, like now players dance, they score touchdowns and make plays, make a first down. They did a great play. I mean, we get paid to make first downs. You get paid to stop play. I mean, do something that you out there dancing different things. I'm not quite sure where that is in the game, at least back in the day. But today, you know, people like to see those things. You know, today there's ESPN and all the sports shows, you know, Sports Nation. They're showing all that on television. And a lot of the guys, they get on TV, are doing those things.
Yeah.
You know, you color your hair, you're doing backflips, all those things. Those things excite people. Mm. And if you want to get noticed and get out there, you need to do some of those things as well. But it wasn't something that we did, you know, back in the day. You know, we played football. We played it hard. We played the physical. Yeah. And our main goal was to win championships. That was it.
Well,
no other goal.
Let's talk about those glory days. So,
And before you start, if I could interrupt real quick.
Well, I wish you would quit interrupting.
Well, I mean, that was smart. Well, this was a first to receive a tweet during the show, and we're recording the show, and now the person will get the answer, you know, once it's actually.
We understand. Ask the question, man.
Why are
He's
you cutting
explaining.
Me off? I'm explaining. So for those individuals that would like to ask a question ahead of time and actually hear the answer during the airing of the show, again, our Twitter information is Soul Tate Champions Live at STCL Sports. Go ahead, Mr. Neal.
Thank you. And I'm sure that clarification is warranted for those people living in Aliquippa that can't keep up with the generality that's laid before them.
Well, I was actually from Penn Hills, but go ahead.
Well, and, you know, it is what it is. But going back to those glory teams, as an unprejudiced response as you can give, do you consider the Pittsburgh Steelers the greatest of that decade, the greatest team of all time?
Without a doubt.
And the defense of which you were a part, the greatest defense of all
without
time?
Without a doubt, no question.
So how about this?
And the number one player, defensive player, it was Joe Green. And the number one player of all football at that time, you know, you got to look at Joe Green, you got to look at
you know, Jim Brown. But, I mean, it's neck and neck with those two guys.
Wow.
Well, I think there was a poll somewhere along the line in the last two or three years that Joe Green was voted the greatest player of that time. As a matter of fact, he was voted the greatest player in NFL football.
Yes.
So talk to us just a little bit. Take your time with it. What was it like being a part of that? You know, and let me give you an example of what I'm trying to parallel here. One can imagine what it was like to be a Temptation. One can imagine what it was like to be a Beatle. One might be able to imagine what it was like being Elvis. What was it like being a part of that greatness?
Well, let me explain it this way. You know, all kids think about, you know, those great things, being a part of something great. But whatever kind of imagination you have, it pales to the actual reality of it. I mean, it just does. Mm. Even when I went to we played in the Super Bowl, you know, I thought about imagine playing in the Super Bowl, imagine playing in the World Series, you know, being in the Olympics. It paled. The actual day, the environment that we had when we beat the Rams out in L.A., you know, that excitement, that feeling was well beyond anything I had ever imagined. And it's like it happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And playing with these guys on the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, these are guys that will never be forgotten. Go down, you know, in history forever in regard to football. And to be able to line up on the same field with them and play with them was just an amazing, awesome opportunity that I was blessed to have. And it's, there's really not much that compares to outside of your family that compares to that was opportunities.
So from the defensive backfield, give us an example of your Joe Green, Ernie Holmes, Dwight White, LC moment. Like, you have a moment or two when from where you stood, you saw.
Well, let me tell you a couple thoughts that I had. First of all, playing on a corner, you know, you're out there by yourself.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know about that defensive line that you have in front of you. And so I would sit down on routes because I knew if that ball didn't come out 1, 2, 3, it wasn't coming. and that was an amazing feeling to have. You could do different things, you know, because the ball ain't coming out after that.
Right.
But I remember my rookie year. We're on our stretch drive, and we were just beating people. We lost, I think, three games that whole year. And we lost three games because we made a couple mistakes and different things. But even after the game was over, we knew exactly what we did wrong, and we're going to clear that up. That's not going to happen again. And it was like all we have to do is just go out and play. We never had that feeling that, boy, this is going to be a tough game. We got to do this and that. We just knew if we just went out and played what we needed to do, we were going to win the game.
Hmm.
And we were getting ready to play the Houston Oilers in a playoff game at Three Rivers Stadium. And I'm sitting in my locker room. I got there early. You know, I was really excited and nervous. And Joe Green walked in. He says, "Rookie, you're going to see some real football today." And I'm thinking in my mind, what the heck have I been experiencing all year? I mean, I've been seeing some amazing things already. And the first play, if you remember the first play of that game, Earl Campbell was a massive individual.
Ooh.
You know, it was like one of those guys. He was the only one that was scary to hit. I mean, you look at Earl, and he's coming full speed. It's like, oh, man, you know. But he was scary to hit. And Joe Green hit him about 3 yards deep in the backfield. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's what he's talking about. The next play, he did the same thing. I said, man, we're going to the Super Bowl. Because he was just that good. And he would double team every play, and he would just demolish, destroy.
Who wow.
And then and then just to hit Earl Campbell and not just get hit and fall back. I mean, he's driving them back in the backfield.
Wow.
And I said, this is a phenomenal football player.
Well, you know, absolutely. Since you mentioned this, now's a good opportunity to mention something you and I exchanged information on a few weeks ago. But, and I'll put it out there because he does listen to the show. But my man Zeke and my father, who you know very well, are major proponents that Earl Campbell was a greater back than Franco Harris. Now, first of all, as I told both of them, all you need to do is look at the stats to find that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, yardage, MVPs, the whole nine. Championships, the whole nine. But you responded by saying what about
why Franco was better than Earl Campbell.
Yeah, Franco was a much more complete player than Campbell was. First of all, Franco's a big guy. I mean, he's not no little scat back kind of guy. So he's running over people as well. Plus, he's got 4 Super Bowl rings on top of that. And he's got, I don't know, thousands of yards as well. Now, Campbell was a scary kind of guy to hit because he was so big and wide physically. But Franco was as well. But Franco could run away from you. Franco could make you miss. Earl couldn't make you miss. Really didn't want you to miss. But it's a different kind of running back. But there's no question. When you look at, you want to win ball games, you want to win championships as well, because Franco lined up on the same field with Earl Campbell. And Franco's team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, won every single time.
That's the bottom line.
And so if it weren't for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Houston would have probably had a couple championships.
Right.
But they had to go through Franco Harris and Joe Green. Franco did his thing, day in and day out against the Houston Oilers.
So how about this? Before his passing, the great L.C. Greenwood told me that when you guys were on top, there was literally nothing you couldn't have. Huh? I mean, literally and respectfully, whatever you wanted in the world was available to you, just a phone call away. How was that as you remember it?
Well, Bill, you were there most of the time.
I was around.
You'd come hanging out, it was nice. I mean, it's just like today. The people here in Pittsburgh love the Steelers. The Steelers love being here as well. Players that are here, they don't want to go play anywhere else. And you talk to all the players that have come here from other teams, they're happy to be here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That attitude and that environment and that love is second to none, being a Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which is why I say, and Kevin disagrees with me as he does on numerous occasions, that Le'Veon Bell was going to be here and finish his career as a Steeler. I believe that they're going to work out a settlement, but we'll get back to that after the break. But I did want to ask you this one more question before we go to break. But let me just offer this. I do recall I did go out with you on occasion to autograph sessions, and I do recall you saying to me on one occasion, we went to this packed house, and I was like, well, what do you want me to do? And you said, just act like a Steeler.
I said, well, have some autographs.
Man, I can do that. Pretend to be a Steeler? Man, I can do that. No
happiest
problem.
Happiest day of your life,
And because it's a family show, I won't tell you the end result.
Well, you don't have to pretend too much. You need to – did you talk to Dwayne about the train ride and the woman, 75-year-old woman, thought you were Mean Joe Green?
Uh-oh. Another one to go in my back pocket?
Well, that's a backyard story, so we'll get to that. But let me just ask you 2 more things. Well, number one – I remember, speaking of changing the rules, I remember asking Mel Blount. We were out on his farm. He does a great job in with the Mel Blount Youth Home. Mm-hmm. And he had the big Steeler mobile out there with all the trophies and all the artifacts. And I remember saying to him, I said, Mel, you caused the NFL to change the rules on how cornerbacks can play the game. I said, if you were playing today, what do you think would happen? And Mel's kind of a slow talker, and he looked at me and said, they'd have to change the rule again. Mm-hmm. So talk about Mel Blount a minute.
Mel was one of the prototype corners, 6'4", 210, long arms, long legs, could run like a deer. When we pressed everybody most of the time back in the day, and, he's got massive individual. Where do you go? If you're trying to get around Mel Blount, you got to go backwards first, and that's how he played the game. And he was just no hook and goals because during that time you could hit a receiver as long as the ball wasn't in the air. So all those
that's the way I like it too.
Moves, you were gonna get hit, and that game was over. And quarterback had to go somewhere else and throw the football. But he get his hands on you and just jam you up. You never got off the line of scrimmage.
And there hasn't been a cornerback of his size before or since. If I'm not mistaken, I know there wasn't a cornerback of his size before, and certainly not since. He's probably been the only cornerback, 6'4", 210, that can run a 4-3 in the history of the game.
He's the only one I know. Jeez. You know, right now you see a lot of wide receivers with that physique.
Right, right.
And it's tough. They're just tearing the league up because there are no corners that size to compete with them.
Right, right.
And that's the difference. But Mel could compete with all of them. Also, the little guys, the little quick guys, he could compete with them as well. Oh. He was just a phenomenal athlete.
So, listen, we're going to take a break and come back. I know Coleman is biting at the bit to get some questions on the board, so we're going to let her get loose. And we're going to talk to you about some high school football stuff that happened around here because, you know, Western Pennsylvania is the bedrock of our high school football. And we'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers of today. And we'll be right back in a moment to do all of that.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
You know this one, Bill? You know this one, man?
5 minutes of funk. Know all about it. Used to dance to it back in the day when I had two good knees. You all should know that Kevin's in charge of the bumper music, and Lord knows you never know what might be played. He might play some stuff you never heard of in your life.
I try to educate him every chance I get.
But to your credit, the last 3 weeks you've been on point, man.
Okay.
And he came with some serious Aretha stuff last week.
Oh. Had
two, to which we should make comment. Kiki brought up some photos. I don't know if you all out there seen the photos. Aretha's in the casket, being memorialized with a red pumps on and a red dress and her legs crossed. So that's going out diva style in a gold casket. And of course, we just in memory of the greatest female voice that ever walked the earth, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. We do offer the remembrance, but she's going out like a diva. There's no doubt about it. But Kev, back to the music. Did one of your kids tell you about that music? Did you discover that on your own?
Really?
I mean,
I keep telling you, man. I'm a young man. My kids aren't that old. You know, that's my music. So you need to get it.
Well,
this is coming from my brain to the airwaves.
And rumor has it you used to dance to that music.
That's right.
Said you could get it on.
I do.
Hey, listen.
Back then and even now.
We're back. Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Giving you everything in the world of sports that we can muster up. What we don't know to be a fact, we make up as we go along. Kev, how about an update on the NFL and the Pittsburgh Steelers and what's happening presently before we go back to the past?
What do you want to know, Bill? All kinds of things are going on. I think the Steelers are somewhere around 93 players, somewhere in that neighborhood, trying to get down to 53. So I guess this is the weekend. This is the fourth preseason game. And I see Josh Dobbs is going to get the start. So that might be the last time that he'll be in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform based on the other quarterbacks that they have in camp. So what do you think about that, Dwayne? You think this will be the last time he'll be in camp?
It may be. I don't think I have an idea. I think they're going to keep him.
You do? Okay.
And to possibly trade him down the line. They're not going to let him go for nothing.
Okay.
He's been doing, I think, a pretty good job. But I think what happens is if you're not there, taking the snaps every day, which Ben is doing – you know, a lot of your potential people don't get to see. But I think he's proven enough and shown enough. There's some teams out there that are looking for a quarterback like him to come and play on their football team. And the Steelers have four guys, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. And Dobbs is one of those guys I think that's going to be expendable for the Steelers. But I think they want to try to figure out, can we trade and get something for him?
Okay. And then when we talk about the wide receivers, the Steelers are really deep at wide receivers, and I mentioned this before.
They got another one here just recently, didn't they? And they signed
signed Ryan Switzer, who was supposed to be a slot guy and a return guy. And since he's a return guy, my man from Pitt,
Henderson,
I'm not sure if that's the writing on the wall that basically you're gone. Because I really don't see Henderson Henderson. I really don't see where there's a role for him anymore since Ryan Switzer is actually a slot guy and he's a real good, you know, return man also. So just to fill everybody in as far as that deal as well, the Steelers acquired Ryan Switzer and a 2019 sixth-round draft selection by a trade with the Oakland Raiders. So keep in mind, this is the second trade the Steelers made with the Oakland Raiders. They traded Martavis Bryant earlier in the year, somewhere around the draft. So I guess we like dealing with the Oakland Raiders for whatever reason. So the trade was made in exchange for a fifth-round draft choice in the 2019 NFL draft. And Switzer was originally drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the fourth round of last year's NFL draft. And he was traded from the Cowboys to the Raiders in April. And now the Raiders trade him to us. So it really makes you wonder why he's being shipped around the league so much in such a short period of time. But hopefully, you know, he'll do the job here for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, now might be a good time to bring Debbie Coleman in because she is up to date on what's happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers presently.
Okay.
But you did have a question for Dwayne.
I have a question questions, as a matter of fact. Considering the status that you have as a D-back, one of the greatest that ever played the game, of course, who would you consider, since you have retired, who would you consider is the top D-back out there from then until now?
What, on the Steelers team?
No, just NFL.
That's a good question. I think, I've always liked, Peterson.
Yeah.
He's always been, he's one of those
for Arizona
physical guys that can run. I've always liked him. He's always doing a good job. Outside of him, I don't know. I don't see anyone that just jumps out at me as being that dominant guy.
Really?
Well, as a safety, Reed.
Yeah.
And Troy.
Yeah.
But current players.
Yeah.
Did you mean since he's
retired? Yeah.
Oh,
football.
Since he's retired.
Yeah.
You meant current players.
And many, and there's so many different eras, and like we were talking earlier about the rules changing so much, it's probably a hard thing to kind of judge, but you did come up with an answer.
You know, back in the day when I was playing and a little bit after I was playing, you could look at, Darryl Green. He's a great cornerback. Even the guy that played in Dallas, even though he wouldn't hit anybody, but he could cover.
Okay. Hey, you got to watch saying that now. He went after Romo when Romo said that now.
Because Romo had a star
in
his chest. He ain't
coming
nobody.
Okay, I feel you.
See on the chest. He can't deny it. I saw him come up on sweeps and turn around and start running the other way.
You talking about Dion?
Yeah.
Neon Dion, prime time.
If you want him to run and cover somebody, he's your guy. You can do that, but he ain't going to come. He wouldn't last too long in our league, in our conference, when we're playing against Earl Campbell, Houston, Pete Johnson in Cincinnati.
When you got to come up.
He ain't going to be here that long.
You got to come up.
Yeah. There's a couple players. I'm not sure, Dwayne, if you know this or not, but I'm from Quip. I'm from Aliquippa.
Okay.
And there's been two potential Hall of Famers, Ty Law, Darrell Revis.
Without a doubt, those two guys are on the list.
Okay.
Now, let me ask a question.
Those two guys are on the list.
Are they from Aliquippa, or is it like Tony Dorsett, who's really from Hopewell, that you claim
you
is from Alabama.
You just have to bring it up.
No, these two guys actually
you
from
just
Alabama.
Have to bring it
y'all
up.
Y'all be claiming
they
people.
They went to Aliquippa High School.
Pete Maravich went to some school near Aliquippa. Y'all claimed him. So.
No. Pete Maravich moved away in junior high school.
My bad.
But he's originally from Aliquippa, and his dad coached at Aliquippa as well. So I have to get you straight. You like to bring it up every chance you get.
Can Debbie answer other questions?
Well, you keep interjecting.
Aliquippa. You know, you mentioned too, but they've had some great ball players.
Right.
Wherever they came from.
Yeah. Mike Dick. Whatever the mean, we could go on and on and on.
All right, so go ahead, Debbie. You had another question.
Yes, the other question was, and this is during your playing days, who was the best wide receiver you ever covered?
Best wide receiver.
Or didn't cover.
No.
Well, let me tell you
no,
this.
No,
don't take that.
Let me answer Jabil's question first. I covered them all.
Oh, yeah, tell them.
And I covered them all well.
Right.
There really wasn't one wide receiver that really was off the chart. I sort of had to take them as a group. So if you could have a great wide receiver, but if the quarterback can't get in the ball,
mm-hmm.
then you can cover him all day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have a great quarterback, and if wideout can't get off the line of scrimmage, you have an easy day. But when you look at them as a group, I'm looking at Miami with Dan Marino,
okay,
and the Duper brothers down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Mark.
That was a great group. That was you had to be on your horses for that one. And the other group is probably Houston with Warren Moon.
Okay.
And they came out with the shotgun offense down there, and that. You knew you were going to be running all day on that particular group as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing that made them so good is because the quarterback would get the ball there. They didn't have to be wide open.
Right.
Just a little hole, they throw the football right there where it need to be. So that was always a tough days for us. But even against those guys, we still won.
I remember.
What's your assessment of the Steelers now? Now you are a yearly go to training camp person. You never miss going to training camp. You go up early to assess the team. You gather all your information. You don't miss a game. The whole nine, you're the consummate Steeler fan. But somehow, this year, you didn't make it to camp. But can you still give us an assessment of the team?
Yeah, it rained.
You let a little rain keep
the weather.
You let a little rain keep you
yes,
from the camp.
Because where you park at in Duane, no, maybe he doesn't know this because he was on the campus. Where you park at, it's a lot of mud. And I did not want to get my sneakers dirty.
Oh, there you go. That explains it.
thinking about that. thinking about that, Duane, I know every year they bring back former players to do a little coaching. Okay, so they brought back, I think, was it Gildan this year? But every year they bring back a former player. Were you ever asked to come back to do any coaching during training camp?
No, I've been too busy
back.
Okay.
I went back up to training camp last week to meet some of the fans and different things. But coaching, particularly coaching football, was not one of my things I wanted to do full-time or even part-time.
Yeah.
I coach, say a few comments and different things. My nephew plays football, and he's a pretty big kid. I love going to watch him play and different things like that. But that's about the extent of it as far as my coaching is concerned. I watch the game on TV. I go and watch it live as well. Not very critical of the players today. Yet at the same time, you look, man, they should be doing a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But not that I'm involved with the coaching or anything.
No. Well, do me a favor. Let me let Debbie get her assessment of the team out because I know she's on top of it. So, what is your projection of this year's team, and are they Super Bowl bound in your opinion?
They should be. What they remind me of, this year's team especially, they remind me of the 49ers back when Montana and Jerry Rice and, some of those guys were playing. And the reason why I say that is because the 49ers were – okay, I don't know who you're going to put out there or why you're going to put this guy out there or this unit out there. We're just going to beat you because we're going to pass the ball. It's all about offense. They didn't have a lot of defense. And that's where I see the Steelers. You mentioned
Kevin. The 49ers didn't have defense?
Not much.
Okay.
No. You mentioned that No, that was you and I when we were talking earlier about the Steelers' defense, and you said you thought, remember last year they came on at the end, and they did.
No, what I said was people talk back. People continue to talk about the Steelers in a semi-negative way, forgetting that they won 13 games last year. So as bad as you can talk about the Steeler defense from last year, they managed to win 13 games. That's not a slouch team. They can't be criticized by so much.
I understand. And I learned something tonight, a comment you had made earlier about the physicalness of the game, because that's my take on their defense. They're not physical enough. They look like they want to be finesse players. And I was always used to that physical defense, that style of defense the Steelers always had played. I don't see that coming from not just this year's team, but the last few years. I guess basically since Troy's been gone from the team. But the point I wanted to make about what you had said, Dwayne, earlier was about the game still being physical, but you have to take into account the safety issues. These men are bigger, they're stronger than, you know, they were years ago and everything. This Pittsburgh Steelers defense just, to me, doesn't have that nasty in them that I'd like to see. And this is coming from a fan perspective. Mm-hmm. You played the game, and you watched the game, as you mentioned. You know they're still physical players. I'm sitting there and like, hit them, you know.
In other words, you want to see some
knock
blood.
Knock them down.
You want some blood, Coleman. It's not bloody enough for you.
It doesn't have to be blood, but, you know, a little more physicalness. But that, to me, is their weakness. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Steelers have a really good offense, really good offense. If they can get Le'Veon Bell back and keep Le'Veon Bell. But the defense.
You know, one of the things that takes away from the physicalness of the game is the zone defense. And so you look at guys that are out there, you know, they're in the zone, so they don't know exactly which way they're going to go yet until the ball comes out. You know, back in the day, there were a lot of man-to-man defenses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had a guy, and so when the ball went there, you were always right there on your guy. So now you're in between two guys. So it's like you can't go cover one. You sort of have to wait until the play develops before you can do anything. So it's a little hesitation there all the time. As opposed to when you have a guy man-to-man, you know exactly what you're going to do, where you're going to go, and there's no hesitation.
If I can hop in, Debbie, because yes. I don't agree with you as far as that Steelers defense and over the last couple of years. I do see aggressiveness. I do see aggressive players now. The Steelers were hurt badly last year as a result of a major injury. Ryan Shazier,
yeah.
So really, when you take a look at Troy Polamalu, very aggressive player. A lot of times you didn't know where he would end up, but always played aggressively. Ryan Shazier was the same type of player. Ryan Shazier would hit the hole, and I'm not sure if you remember. You remember a couple of years ago during the playoffs, all of that physical play in Cincinnati, okay, when – you know, Ryan Shazier had a questionable hit on their running back, and there was a few other questionable hits. You had Mike Mitchell, who played safety for the Steelers.
Right.
He was a real aggressive player. He's no longer with the team.
He's not with the team anymore.
Okay, now we'll see what's going to happen this year, but even you have Cam Hayward, who is a real aggressive player as well. So we'll see what happens this year, but in the past years, I think the aggressiveness was there. I think it was kind of tampered a little bit, or it was scaled back, I should say, a little bit because of the rule changes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think Dwayne, you can piggyback off this. I think that's really the essence of it. When Debbie talks about, I think there's a difference between being aggressive and being physical. I mean, you can be aggressive and aggressive minded in your play, but the physicality has been taken away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Jack Lambert was ready to slam somebody, that's because the rule allowed for it. The rule changes don't allow for you to square up and rip somebody apart. So, mm-hmm. you know, your head's got to be in the right place, your shoulder's got to be in the right place. You can't explode like they used to do back in the day. So you're not going to have
that kind of explosion, that kind of physicality anymore. I think that's the difference.
Well, you know, that's I think that's part of it as well. You know, but you can still explode on guys. You just have to do it, as Bill indicated, a certain way. But you know, today it's all about when I watch a football game, it's all about the hit. You know, back in the day when you're sitting there and you just throw your body at Earl Campbell, well, you just go hit that and just bounce off. You better wrap up. and you know, make a form tackle kind of thing. But today, you know, it's a highlight reel. You know, how hard can I hit them? I don't really have to wrap up in different things. And so it changes. Mm-hmm. And so if you miss, you don't make the play, don't look like a physical hit at all. But it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
I have a question for all three of you guys. Why do players not wrap up much anymore? Like you said, it's all about the hitting. To make a highlight film or whatever on ESPN, I hardly ever see guys wrapping up like they did.
Well, let me tell you, let me just tell you this before you go. You can ask me and Dwayne. Kevin's a basketball player, baseball player, extraordinary.
He's an athlete.
No. Extraordinary golfer. You don't know this. Kevin's on the golf tour. Kevin can golf.
He
was a great basketball player, and he's a baseball aficionado. But Kevin ain't never wrapped up nobody on a football field in his life.
But I still know about football.
Well, I'm not saying
I still know about
football. I want Debbie to know. Yeah, you know, you played the sissy sports.
So my question is, are they not teaching these guys this anymore, or they just don't want to do it?
They're definitely teaching them. But, you know, guys, as you indicated, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're quicker. And so you have to get hit right now, get as much of them as you can. And so it's not that they're not trying to wrap up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to wrap up, but they're trying to hit him and get him down as well. So how can I get this, you know, this 275-pound running back down on the ground without killing myself? Kind of thing.
I got to get there as quick as I can. That ask that question that way from a distance. Like, why ain't they wrapping up?
Very good question. But I would like to ask a subsequent question as well for Dwayne, because when you played, you played what, 13 years?
12 years.
12 years, okay. So when you played, how many padded practices did you have in a week and during the year?
All practices were padded.
So my point
six
is
6 weeks of training camp.
Yeah,
twice a day pads.
Right.
Goal line live on before the game during the season. Yeah, all our practices were pads.
All right. So it was kind of a rhetorical question, but I had to put it out there because I think that's a big contributor to the tackling in the NFL today. I mean, they just do not practice the way they practice when Dwayne played, okay, because they could only have so many padded practices, and I'm not exactly sure what the number is, but I know that there's a number that has been put in place. So I think that's a real big contributor. And then when you add on to it, the rule changes. Now, you know, I hate to say it, you don't ever want to think about how you want to tackle. You just want to go and tackle.
And do it.
But that's in the back of their minds as well, I believe.
Hey, Kevin,
would you agree, Dwayne?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I agree. You know, our practices were physical. Mm-hmm. We played physical as well. You know, today practices aren't the same as they used to be. You know, they don't want to get anybody hurt in practice. But it's sort of weird because we really never got too many people hurt in practice anyway. Even though we were practicing hitting each other, you know, during the regular season, during the week, you know, the change in during the regular season is we wouldn't, you know, wide receiver go out and catch a ball. We're not going to hit him. We let him come down and tag off and different things. Mm-hmm. But the line, a lot of that stuff in the line and on goal line was basically live. Mm-hmm. But we were physical in practice as well.
And because when you think about it, it's a Hall of Fame offense. In that Steeler decade, going against a Hall of Fame defense every day. Yeah. You can't help but make each other better consistently.
Right. Now, what did I'm not sure if it were LC or someone else that told you about the Hall of Fame defensive line. Can you share that story?
Dwayne will probably echo, or he may not want to voice it. And I mean that sincerely. You don't have to respond, but Dwight White. You know, Dwight was outspoken.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And, to say the least, I guess.
Okay, so you know Dwight. And as I've oftentimes said, I've had the pleasure and the privilege to know people like Dwayne and LC and Robin Cole and JT. Those guys have befriended me 1,000 times over. So it's always just been a pleasure and a privilege to be able to have those relationships. And I think part of it was because we were all in the business of community and develop community development and youth development. So we were all kind of in the same direction. But one night I was with Dwight at an affair somewhere, and Dwight said to me, he said, and he called me Neil, you think you know a lot, don't you? I said, come on, Dwight. I said, no, so you think you know a lot of stuff. I said, well, you know, but he said, and you consider yourself a pretty smart guy, don't you? I said, well, you know, he said, did I play on the greatest team in the history of pro football? I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He said, well, did we have the greatest defense in the history of football? I said, absolutely. He said, well, it was the greatest defensive line in the history of football then, right? And I said, absolutely. He said, well, why aren't all of us in the Hall of Fame then?
Oh.
And I said, well.
Good question.
That's you can't argue with that.
No.
Why aren't Dwight White, Ernie Holmes, and LC Greenwood in the Hall of Fame?
That's because when they induct people into the Hall of Fame, they don't want everybody coming from one team.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of good players out there. But there was a year you could have put all four of them in.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, watching the Pro Bowl. The whole Steeler defense was out there on the field. All 11 guys, all starters, they were out there in the Pro Bowl.
It's one thing to do in basketball, but when you're doing it in football,
you got all,
something else.
All 11 guys out there you know, in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, the Pro Bowl is a league-wide thing, and to have all your defense line going in at the same time, which could have happened without question, without any argument about it. But there are a lot of other good players around the league as well, so they, you know, it's they're not going to allow everybody to go in, all defensive line to go in. But I still think when you look at Dwight, look at Ernie, and particularly when you look at LC Greenwood, out of that group, you know, I can't understand why LC, in particular, is not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, he played in all four Super Bowls. Particularly against Minnesota, I can still remember him chasing Fran Tarkenton around, you know, like a little rabbit. And you know, he just wrecked havoc on defenses. And you know, the gold shoes should be in
sack leader.
His shoes are in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He needs to be there too.
I was going to say the flair of some of those players, LC, Frenchie Frucaw, right?
Yeah.
And big time flair.
And LC's your second all time leading sack leader behind Harrison now. So yeah, I mean there's no and I'll tell you something else that LC told me. He said if you think Joe Green was something, he said, I'm gonna tell you this. Ernie Holmes was the closest thing to a John Deere tractor trailer that you'd ever want to see. He said the reason that Joe and I and LC could get a lot of stuff done was because there was usually two or three guys that had to occupy Ernie Holmes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's just, as you said, there's a lot of sports writers that are against getting any more Steelers in, let alone a few more. So it's just working against your own greatness.
And regarding the Hall of Fame, it always seems as though when Steelers come up, I guess they always try to penalize the former Steelers players by the Steelers' success. So, in other words, if you take someone like a Ben Roethlisberger, a future Hall of Famer, they'll say, well, you know, you had this great defense, you had all the weapons, and then if you take somebody, I mean, Jerome Bettis, he made it, but, you know, the same thing with him. They used to say, well, you know, you played on this great team. So, and there are some other names out there. I know Donnie Shell's name was being thrown around for quite some time as well.
The thing is, you know, you have so many great players on one team, they all ain't getting in.
Right.
Even though they deserve it. So they'll pick out one, maybe two. Mm-hmm. And then your odds of getting in diminish because now you have to go in on the old-timers list. And there's only one guy that gets to go in. And so all the, you know, when you look at the Steelers, every year, after retirement, there's some guys that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And so those are ones they're looking at first. Then everybody else goes in the old-timers. And so you may have five, six, seven guys that should be in the Hall of Fame that don't get in because of just the numbers.
Hey, I want to steal this last minute and a half I have for my buddy and your son, John Bryant Woodruff, who's now overseas.
He's in Iraq.
And I don't know how much you're allowed to say, but since this is a global show, I want you to just take a minute and a half, and do a shout out for JB, and tell us, you know, just give us whatever you can give us. Where, how's he doing, and what direction is he?
First of all, you know, John decided to follow in the footsteps of both his father, me, and his grandfather. He's a lawyer. Following after me, he's also a Marine. His grandfather served 20 plus years in the U.S. Army. Served in Korea and Vietnam, and John, named after him, he's John Bryant Woodruff II, decided to serve his country as well. He is now a captain in the Marines. He was deployed to Iraq 2 weeks ago. It'd be three weeks today. He indicates, you know, now there's some type of communication. I get a text every now and then. Telling me it's 110, 115 degrees. You'll send more underwear and socks. So we got a package going to tomorrow. But you know, he's built, for the Marines. All the stories that you hear about the Marines and the way that they think. He's right there. Couldn't be more proud of him and his service and what he decided. He wanted to do for his country, and we just pray for him every day. Thank you for allowing me to talk to him about him on your show. Hopefully he'll hear this as well. But you know, he's if you're in a foxhole, this is a guy you want on your back.
Yeah, so, and I want all the other Marines that are hearing this show right now to know whatever stories John Bryant told you about being a football, basketball player are true. So back up off of him and don't play that 2-on-2 game with him, because he'll punish you. But look, Kevin, as a father, and Debbie as a mother, Dwayne's son, John Bryant, is a son that we'd all want to have. Mm-hmm. Just a great young guy.
I remember him when he played basketball.
Played in the Coney Hawkins League.
He played in the Coney Hawkins League. He was about 17 years old, I think. Still in high school.
You see that look Kiki's giving you? She wants you to shut up so we can go to break.
I'm sorry.
See, I'm just sorry. But I told you you can't shut her up, Kiki. Hey, we'll be right back in a moment. We got to talk a little bit about Tiger Woods. And we got to get some information about the Steelers game on Thursday. And then we got to get to those college information. So we'll be right back in a moment after this. Oh, and I got some zoo tickets to give away, so don't go away.